Blog Talk Radio.
Fucking Ross coming to you live from Los Angeles, and
you got your one and only Tony out here in Austin, Texas with another episode of
the Bring Out the Dead Show. Ding 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 ding.
You win a dollar.
No, you don't. No, I'm not sending a dollar to any of you. You didn't win. Don't listen to him. So but this is The Walking Dead we're talking about this week. The episode in question is called Something They Need, where Tara finally talks to them about Oceanside.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we get to see what happened with Sasha's little raid.
Yes. Yeah.
What did she think was going to happen?
She'd probably go on a blaze of glory. I think that's what her intentions were, to get Negan and just have him be taken out. That was the whole plan.
That was the plan, but there was no way. First of all, there's no way she was going to get through the countless people she would have needed to get through to get to Negan. That's just unreasonable. Unless you're Duke Nukem, or the Doom guy.
Yeah, it wasn't thought out.
It wasn't thought out. She should have listened to her logic that she gave to Rosita, that it wasn't her time yet, and both of them should have gone back to go find the group and say, look, man, we got right up to the side of the thing. We can literally get up on them before we start this attack. Yeah. Kind of approach it almost like the governor did, show up there and just shock and awe, just get them before they know what the fuck's going on,
mm-hmm.
And you might lose some people, but in the chaos, you're going to be victorious. Because you have the upper hand. But instead, she goes in on her own. There's no way you have the upper hand. There's just too many other people. There's just too many enemies.
Yeah. But she may play a big part in the next episode. And it's just like, I'm jumping ahead. Let's just go in order. So, okay, go ahead. So, we do see a scene. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's the scene?
The scene with Sasha with the guy approaching her and with that whole situation is almost right out of the comic book, which I was happy to see.
Rapey Ralph, you're talking about?
Rapey Dave, which is so funny. I actually know a guy named Dave Rape, which is his
name.
Oh,
no kidding.
So calling Rapey Dave has made me laugh. But that's a shout out to my buddy, Dave Rape. That's his real name. David Raper is his name. I'm sorry. David Raper. That's his
name.
Wow. And he's very proud of it, people.
I'm sure of it. That's one, though. You don't get a lot of blind dates with that name.
No, you don't. Your name is Mr. Raper? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So
I'd like you to meet my friend. Yeah, his name's Rape. It's like, no, nobody's coming anywhere. Right. All right, go ahead.
So that whole scene is, again, it shows another layer of Negan. That Negan, at one side of the coin, yeah, he's bad. He's issues. But at the same time, he's trying to bring order to even now, even of all the craziness he doesn't believe in rape. That says a lot.
Well,
in this.
Not even that, because Negan would have no problem raping somebody, and he's proven that by taking people's wives and
No, I disagree. You're not saying this. No, he does not believe in rape, not at all. But you know what? If you want how things are, you like to live all. He even says it. You want to live up and chill, then that's part of the bargain. That's not rape, dude. That's just taking a deal. He's not making them do it.
But you're missing what I'm saying. He's not. He doesn't give a fuck about rape. That's ridiculous. That's got nothing to do with Negan. What he doesn't want is people beneath him thinking that they can do what they want. And that's the thing, is that this guy going in and taking this, he's even saying, I'm doing something I know I'm not supposed to do. You know, and if I bring you water, which I'm not supposed to do, then I want you to do something else that we're not supposed to do. So he knows he's stepping over the line with that alone. And that's Negan's thing, is he needs to have total control over everybody in his, you know, under him. He can't have anybody thinking that they've got a little bit of power or that they've got some say-so, because that can easily turn against him. It would be very simple for a cancer to bring down his entire establishment.
Maybe from a point of view, I still think it's something about his character. Nothing I've read in the comic books is just...
No, I know.
That.
But what
if
what
he don't give, if he doesn't give a shit, that tells me he doesn't care if other guys do it, but still don't. I hear what you're saying. Why?
It wouldn't matter except for the fact that it's somebody beneath him trying to just go off and do their own thing. And that's what he's not having. And the thing is, he's sending a message to everybody else. You know, before you think that you're in any kind of charge, don't think so. Even if you're in power over this person, you're still not in charge, and you better know that. And that's what he's sending. That's every move that Negan makes reinforces that with his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even down to beating Glenn and Abraham to death. That was as much for his people as it was for Rick and the group.
Yeah, well, it's showing that that's, I mean, he goes to, well, saying, because that's how his world works.
Yeah.
You know, his people, the saviors, are used to that type of discipline, lack of a better mm-hmm. word, of how I run things. You guys like how things are? This is how I, you know, butcher the meat. This is how I get the burgers on the table. This is how I get vegetables on your
exactly.
plate.
How he treated the doctor and then immediately went and got a new doctor for them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's showing... You know, there's nobody here that's not expendable. I'll replace you in a heartbeat, even if you're somebody critical like a physician. Like, how many physicians are left in this world? You know, they're probably the first to go. And here he is throwing one away and going and saying, I'm going to have another one by, you know, the following day. And that's what Negan's all about. Negan is just showing he has total control over his world.
His world includes the Hilltop and calls Alexandra and the kingdom, all providing for his people, for his way of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And so now with the other group, though, they're going out to the beach, and Tara, of course, is, you know, justifiably feeling guilty, right? She's betraying the trust of somebody that saved her life on multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but then again, she got the chance to give a little girl a finger again, and who could pass that up?
Yeah. Also, got to keep in mind is that she's trying to save their way of life. You know, it's not going to mm-hmm. always stay how it is. I mean, I understand what Tara's trying to do. I don't feel sorry for her. I think she's doing, you know, I am saving your life now in the way I know. I know what's going around you. You're not aware. Y'all in a little bubble, your little island. Isolated, and you think you're safe, but as great as what Negan's doing, it will come back to get them eventually. And the fact they have weapons, so Tara's trying to do the right thing. And I like their approach. She tried. I mean, it was like, you can't make a decision in 2 seconds. They could give her a little more time, but I guess they don't have enough time. Maybe that's the whole point. Like, we can't wait to negotiate. We can't sit there and have like meetings with me. We need this stuff now. So
the episode is only an hour and a half. So I mean, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Anyway, I felt that.
Or whatever it was. Was it an hour last week? I don't even know.
It was an hour. It's an hour.
It was an
next
hour.
Week.
So
next week should be a 90-minute episode.
So yeah, they had to do it 40 minutes. So, you know, here they are. They're trying to get it done. But I love that. Yeah, everybody got put into position. But one thing with Michonne up in the tree. You know, immediately the first thought I had was, if Sasha was still there, if she didn't go off on her own, she would be a second point, you know, because what happens if they weren't exactly in the right place? Or, you know what I mean? And Sasha could have been backing Michonne up, and each one having their own little lookout spot. and made themselves that much stronger to the situation. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. she really left the group high and dry by running off and doing her own thing.
Yeah.
And well, now now she's in a position where she can literally jeopardize the group, you know.
That's a good point to make. You know, and that's where I'm, again, I'm trying to get to the end. I'm trying to get to the next episode, but that's fine. We'll keep going. I'll get to it eventually. Because I am excited about this episode and what's going to happen next. I'm going to make some predictions because I got a feeling I know how season 8 is going to play out now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk about that. So let me know when I can do that because I'm ready to jump ahead. So I'm sorry. Let's continue. Let's get through this episode so I can take over because I'm excited about the next week's episode. It's insane.
Zip your pants up. Jesus Christ. I was like, what did Sasha, I go back to this, what did Sasha think was going to happen? Of course she was going to be captured, not killed. Of course she was going to be used against her group. You know what I mean? First of all, once she was captured, the fact that she didn't take that knife, like, I would have loved it if Negan would have come back to that door, opened it up, and found two walkers in there, Sasha and Rapey Dave. You know, and then that's the way she should have ended. She shouldn't have killed the zombie. She shouldn't be even thinking she can be part of that group without giving up Rick's group.
Funny because she was talking like this is my like a suicide mission. Like you said, you came in like a kamikaze, and that's the whole part that I thought so too. So you're right. She should have just go ahead and take herself out because she knows she's put herself into a bigger jeopardy, big time.
Yep. And that she's actually going to cost her friends by doing this. Now, I will say one thing. When Negan pulled out the knife on Rapey Dave, and then he, like, lowered his hand, like, the knife went off screen, down to the bottom of the screen, I thought, oh, my God, he's going to cut his nuts off. And then he sticks it through his neck. It's like, oh, you know, he's going to... I knew he was going to cut it
through. That's straight out of a comic book.
Was it?
That image of the knife going in the neck like that is straight... out of that comic book, which was freaking awesome. I don't get them very often. I don't notice it, but this one I do remember because there's some stuff that Negan does is just like the guy who cut open his guts and just spilled everywhere, straight out of the comic book. So some of the things that he is killed are, I mean, I'm glad they're showing that in the TV series because there's a lot of shock back. Shock, man, it's shocking. It's shocking, brother.
It surprised me. I really wasn't expecting them to do that, so I liked it. And then you have Eugene, of course, coming up to the door. Now, for one thing, if I was Eugene, there's no way I would not think that they weren't keeping a very close eye on me. Eugene's smart enough to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So walking up and whispering through the door would not have been an option because there was an ear somewhere listening to what I was saying to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a mistake. When he ended up bringing her the poison pill, I thought, now, what I'd really love is you see, you know, Negan in the first episode of season 8 come out and he's going to say something and he takes a sip of coffee and goes, and falls down dead. And you find out that, you know, she gave him the poison pill. Of course, one pill is not going to do it, apparently, you know, from if you remember what Eugene was saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it would weaken him, and any little bit of weakness would help, you know, so we may still see that. You know, we may still see the return of the lily from the valley.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I already know the answer, but I don't know. That's a good possibility.
Well, you know the answer from the comic book. The show, you know, who knows what it could do.
Here's the thing. As far as Negan's concerned, there's no other way but end it the way it does in the comic book.
Fine. That's fine. I'm sure from the comic book that it'll... I'm sure it's not going to end with the poison pill. I'm just talking shit. If it ended that way, I would be mad as a I would stop watching if it ended like that.
It just ends with him taking a sip of tea and... You know, what's going to happen in an episode, that's it. And that's all we do. He just dies in his sleep peacefully.
Yeah, we do. Well, no, the last shot of the episode is just the cup of tea falling off the counter and his arm going limp. That's it. You don't even get this.
So
what? Next week, Dwight's in charge of the Saviors. And speaking of Dwight, I know we're jumping towards the end of the show, but when they walked in with Rosita, oh my God. I honestly do not think if this was real life, you know, I do not think that entire group together kept Daryl from killing that motherfucker right at that point.
Oh, dude. Yes. Yeah.
Daryl would have been throwing knives and shoes and shit. Yeah. He'd have been trying to pull Rick's gun off him. He'd have just whatever it would have taken.
Yeah.
To get this
guy. Absolutely. You're
thinking,
yeah.
I am not making this mistake a third time already.
Hell no. Hell no. But, you know, it's kind of shady. I don't know. So why come in like that?
Yeah.
Never know. But I would say, and this is just how I thought when I read it in the comic book, he has motivation to go on the other side. And he has motivation to stay on the
yes,
other side.
Yes, he does.
So even then, I still don't know. Here's two things that is helping with this last few episodes. Both Eugene and Dwight are kind of doing little things different from the comic book, so which I like. I'm happy to see, because like it's weird what they're doing with Eugene. So that's why I'm like, I still don't know. I still don't know if he's good or bad at this point, because it's a real good twist to deal with his character. Same with Dwight.
According to Eugene, he is Negan.
That is very true. He has said that.
I heard it from his own lips.
And that's you may have some. I don't know. We'll see. Definitely.
We're
going to
see.
But again,
it's awesome that they have another wild card. You know, that makes it interesting.
Well, back to Oceanside. So when they actually did the sieging the weapons, that scene with the grandmother, man, it's like, you know what, man, think about it for a minute. These are two people who feel one's right and the other one's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both really, well, Rick was trying, hey, we don't want to kill you, but if we have to, we're going to, but we're not here to take care of stuff. We need your weapons to take care of business. You know, and like that, she did not want any of it. For your own daughter, granddaughter, to knock this on your head, man, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know if I hit my grandma upside the head. It's just insane. It was crazy. It was a crazy thing.
No, I'm with you. You know, she had, and the girl was doing it for the grandmother's own good, in a sense. You know, there's no reason the grandmother needed to die there.
Yeah.
You know, but
this
she was
true.
So willing to. It was like, don't throw your life away. Just let's get this to happen. We'll deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we are going to still see these women return. I think they are going to be part of the at least a portion of them are going to show up for the fight.
Yeah, well, yeah, they need to come together to make mm-hmm. this work.
Hey, the more the merrier. The you know, there is such a thing as power in numbers, and I think between Oceanside, even a fraction of Oceanside, the orphans from the dump. And the kingdom, and then our group from Alexandria, between all of these guys, I think they far outnumber the saviors at this point.
Mm. That's crazy. It's just, I'm loving what they're doing with it. I'm still thinking season 7 is almost my favorite of all time. It's just, I'm loving what they're doing with this storyline, with the whole Negan and the and this all-out war, as it's called in the comic book. So, and the thing is, I had to watch some of these last episodes very carefully. I'm looking for clues, because I just have a feeling how they're going to move this story along. And I just love to make some predictions for next week's episode. I did see a sneak peek of next week's episode, so it looks like they're going to do it the way I think they will. And I'm expecting a big, huge, freaking death. And I'm putting my money on two people. And I think I'm expecting a big death next week.
Who are you putting your money on?
I'm putting all my money on Sasha.
Sasha's a given. And I think Carol is, maybe not next episode, but I don't think she has much longer. It just seems that way.
Here's why I'm saying it. Because there's two characters that... that could die in the next episode if it goes along with the comic book. okay? I'm not trying to give anything away. I'm trying not to. It's just that how they're always switching things around, I have a feeling I know how they're going to do it. I can't wait to talk about it after the next episode because it's like, it's going to be crazy.
What's going to happen is they're not going to show you who it was again, and then you're going to cry for an entire half a season
until
the show comes back.
There's no way, because it brings up the stakes. They're not going to do a cliffhanger like last season.
Okay? I seem to remember you saying the same thing last year. We'll see what happens. Only time will tell.
No, I said they're going to show Negan. In the last episode, and I really thought they did.
But you still cried about them not knowing who the killed people
it's
were.
It's like you know, they did. It was like this, people. I'm going to give you a good analogy. Let's say your team is going to the Super Bowl. Okay, your team is in the Super Bowl, and it's halftime. They say, okay, stop right now. We're going to come back in 6 months and continue this. That's how I felt, because they're already doing everything. They're showing the game. Everything's going well. And also they're going to stop right here, and then we're going to do the rest in 6 months. It takes the momentum away.
What is this football you speak of? I'm not familiar with your ways.
Hey, I'm trying to read a new demographic.
I get it. It would be like if they got halfway through the Stanley Cup and then had to stop and come back in 6 months. Is that similar?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I'm just trying to say that it's just, you know, hey, we built this all up. Here's the episode you've been waiting to see. Here's the reveal, Negan. But you know what? We're going to stop right here and come back 6 months later. That's the part that frustrated me, because you're already doing the scene. I understand why they did it, and it did work. It got a lot more people watching the premiere. You know, I think it should have ended where Abraham got beaten up to death, because then it would have worked. I still think it would have worked, because the whole coming back to that, because now what we're going to do, well, he killed one of us, and then the whole thing with Daryl, and then Glenn goes out. That would have been freaking perfect. You would satisfy two people, the new fans and the comic book fans.
Here we are, folks. 15 episodes later, and he's still crying about it. Just for the record.
That's okay. I'm very passionate about that. But so this last episode here, we will see All Out War. I'm not sure the entirety, but there's a lot that can happen in this episode, and some great cliffhanger opportunities they have here. And I think one of them is going to be a death of one of the main characters. And I know it's setting up, and it's obviously going to be Sasha, but the way they're going to do it, it's going to be cool. The way they're going to do it is going to be freaking
they're
cool.
It's going to be Eugene is going to die saving Sasha. That's what's going to happen.
That would be... All right. No comment. No comment.
I mean, that just makes sense, though, because Eugene's not got much longer left either at this point.
Eugene has a lot to stick around for.
I mean, pretty much once you played Atari 2600 in the zombie apocalypse, what else is there to live for? I mean, come on.
There's still plenty to do. Yeah. Okay.
There's nothing.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
What? Is there a walk?
All right. Okay.
But no, I think that a lot of characters need to kind of be shaken up a little too, because
the good people. The whole season was a shakeup, big time.
Well, no. I mean that, but at the same time, I think it needs to get to a different point. Like, we need to see the war take on kind of a different face than we've seen so far. If it's just another rehash of, you know, them fighting, you know, the governor's people, it's just, I just don't want to be bored with it. I'm hoping they do something a little fresh this time, you know. So we'll see.
I would be cool if it's just Negan and Rick one-on-one in like an arena style. They'd be like, what the hell's going on with this show?
I think you have Tina Turner come out and she can introduce the whole thing.
But would you accept just a straight out brawl between Negan and Rick in a one-on-one battle? Would you
absolutely
accept
in a cage
that
match? Chit-chat.
Not me being for real. Even like in the middle of the field, like, screw this, let's do a one-on-one. Let's just do this. And it's just one-on-one. Would that be acceptable for all this whole season? And that's how they settle their quarry.
Rick's out of bullets and Lucille's broken in half and all they got left are their fists. Yeah, why not? First of all, you can't fight Rick that way. And this is, if it really came down to that, because Negan is strong when he's got this huge amount of people and his bat and everything. But if it came down to a one-on-one fight, Rick just bite your jugular out. You know, Rick's already bit through the hardest of the heart of that.
Yeah, he's a little hard enough there. You're right. He would just go for the jugular.
Yeah.
Carl,
at this point, why wouldn't
you? Give me a towel.
Why wouldn't you? That's the thing is, I don't think Negan will last 2 seconds in hand-to-hand combat with Rick. Even if Negan was armed with something, I don't think that if it was just two, no other stakes, you know, everybody wasn't held at gunpoint, all that other shit. Yeah, Negan would not last 5 seconds against Rick.
All right, I didn't prep you this, but I'm going to ask you a question. About mm-hmm. this season seven. Tell me your recap of season 7. What did you come from this season? What worked and what didn't work for you this season? I know because we're building for the finale, but I'd like to know up to this point your thoughts on season 7. I'm curious, as because remember you're the only one. Audience will know this. Ross has never read the comic books. I'm the only one that has.
Well, keep telling him every week, but yeah, I don't know it yet. but maybe you don't know it out there. I don't know, but anyway. That's the stuff that I like. I thought, like, for the most part, this whole season worked. For the first half of it, you know, sped along a little too fast for my taste. Just that eighth episode got there really super quick. And everything was interesting. For one thing, they've got Jeffrey Dean Morgan's characters super dynamic. You have, Steve Ogg out there doing his thing. You've got all these new people that they're introducing and they're kind of collecting together. And all of a sudden, here you come now. The first half of it was them being under the boot. The second half has been all about them preparing for the war, and now they're coming to a head. I'd say the only thing I was a little disappointed with was the little zombie fest thing at the carnival with Rick and Michonne. I thought that was a little... It was unnecessary, you know. I get what they were doing and why they needed to find the weapons, but it was just hokey, you know.
Yeah, okay. I understand your point on that one, but also I feel that they do need episodes where they're just killing zombies, okay? Because
right.
You and I are...
That's why that was fans. I'm with you.
Yeah, so they do have to have scenes like that, and I can totally hear it. I think that we're past that now, but I think more as the season goes on, the zombies are just fodder. I mean, they're just, you know, like
right.
In every, you know, they're in a way every so often. So every so
but
often.
The best episodes of this season were the ones that built the most character, the most, you know, the stuff about Eugene finding the bullet, you know, facility, bullet manufacturing, you know, setup that he could do. And, you know, and you get to learn a little bit more about his character. And then even with him going to the saviors and you see him on that side of it, you get to see a little bit other side of who Eugene could be, you know, and you get to really see his cowardice in a way we haven't seen up till now. It's an interesting characteristic.
Well,
and every
I agree
character,
with you.
Like,
yeah,
they've
well,
really
it,
done
it,
a good job at fleshing them out. So,
well, that, let's go back a little bit because you hit a point there about showing the, you know, develop of the characters. Well, I think at this point, I'm going back to the carnival scene, is we know how Rick and Michonne should be and how they should act and how serious things are. But because how you know these characters, you feel like, dude, they're doing something stupid right now. They're being stupid and they're being throwing caution at the wind, and they're a little bit arrogant. It almost cost them to die. But it will show they're able to get through that without a problem. They're able to see the solution to the issue and they will get out of the car and just move forward and not panic. That's the one thing you get from that scene is that, yes, they're so accustomed to this, they don't panic. They look at the situation, they know what to do, and they move forward on it. But the cockiness is that we saw in that episode, I think that's helped with the character itself. Even though they're just, again, the whole episode was just about killing zombies.
Right, no, but I did appreciate the stuff when they were in the warehouse and they were talking. And I like, you know, the things that they did to build, to develop character. I love the scene with Tara talking to Judith because she had no one else to turn to in the entire group about issues. You know, I liked all of that. The stuff with Gabriel and Rosita was awesome. You know, really mm-hmm. cool character stuff here. And that's what I love about this show is that it's so much more than just a zombie show. If all it was zombies, I'd be done. I'd have been done a long time ago. But they mm-hmm. got characters that really grab hold of you, which again comes back to why we don't watch Fear of the Walking Dead, the show that shall not be named. You know, so because it's just not interesting. I don't care about those characters, so there's absolutely nothing to bring me back.
I also gotta keep in mind the show that should not be named. I felt that they just assumed that we're gonna like it because we're such fans of The Walking Dead, and they missed the big boat about The Walking Dead. That it's the characters that we cared about so quickly, and I don't know what happened with the Fear of the Walking Dead because I like the concept of them being LA, and. It's, I didn't care about the dad and care about, and I didn't care about, we didn't know any of the characters' names. We just called the guy looked like Johnny Depp or whatever. We just kept,
Gilbert Grape, I kept calling him.
Gilbert Grape. And even in that crazy finale, not finale, but the season finale when there's a boat in the distance, we didn't even care. We didn't even care at that point.
Dude, I rolled my eyes so hard, I saw my brain. I couldn't even, it was the most ridiculous ending. Like, oh, so they're going to go to this now. It was just, you know, and then even what happened on the ship was kind of lame. And
yeah,
I think that they should have thought of something better. Like, and they literally should have spent more time telling the story. That was the biggest issue. If they could have built the character or given us something to care about, you know, something I think, and this is in your story, the Walk with Darkness. We have the character that's trying to get to his wife, and he has the choice. He has his wife, and he has his ex-wife and his current girlfriend. And who do you go to save? Who are you trying to protect? And, you know, and that makes the character more interesting. They have something driving them. In this uh-huh. case, the family was always together. It's the same thing that made us interested in Rick. Here's this guy trying to find his family. Then he finds his family. By the time he gets to that point, we already care about him because we went on that little journey with him. You know, and
exactly.
The same thing with the other characters. You know, you had in the Telltale game, you had Lee, who really didn't have any purpose in the world. But then they introduced Clementine, and her parents are in Augusta, Georgia, and that's where they're headed. You know, and so she's got her mission. She's trying to find her parents. And it mm-hmm. gives you the time to care about this character and what they're going through. And that's the thing that the Fear of the Walking Dead never had, is there was really nothing to care about. Oh, these guys are trying to do this. The thing with the girl's boyfriend who was already bit and dying, like all those things that were happening, there was no reason to care because they were never pushing, you know, to a goal. It was just, they were trying to tell the story in the neighborhood kind of thing. You know what I mean? It was almost like a House Tales.
Yeah, it just didn't work. You know, it's funny that we went right to the other show and about The Walking Dead. But again, it shows you that we do care about characters and that and this whole series is drawn on, no pun intended,
strong character.
Strong characters that are definitely, we want to see them succeed, even in the zombie apocalypse, even with this threat of, you know, Negan. You can look at Negan's character and say, well, I mean, so the people, it seems like they leave when they want to. It seems like they're not prisoners. They can come and go as they please. If they want to get up and leave, I think. I get that impression that they couldn't leave.
Seem like those guards at the gate kind of thing. So I hear you on that.
Yeah.
You know? But they could have even told the story from Negan's point of view to get us on Negan's side. You know what I mean? And by the time he had this group together, like, we could understand where he was the same way that we were able to understand where Rick was when he had the Rick-tatorship thing going on, you know?
Rick-tatorship.
You know, now it's a Rickocracy, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, all the characters, whenever they introduced somebody, they gave us something to care about. When they introduced Michonne, she was protecting a sick and possibly dying Andrea. And then when she got broken away from Andrea because she couldn't stay in that ridiculous town anymore, you know, she's now trying to help get baby supplies to the prison. So, again, here's somebody that we, even before we learned about her, we got to care. Like, she was, oh, she's part of this group. We, you know, we were all cheering for her, you know. And that's, there was never a reason to cheer for any of the other people. And that's what makes mm-hmm. this show so good, is just everybody. Tara's character, I was thinking about this while I was watching this episode. You know, in the next episode, or maybe not until next season, we still got that guy. What was his name? Keith or Kyle or whatever his name is, the black dude that went out with Tara when they went to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We never
mm-hmm.
really seen what happened to him yet. He could still turn up somehow. You know, we still have some wild cards in the deck, so.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. Yeah, you're right. That they have been keeping on the hush-hush. Because usually a character, we see what happens to him. You know,
especially somebody they show.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, somebody they show often, you know, enough to where they give him a name and they're building his character, they're going to show you what happened to him. So far, we haven't seen it. And I think they're hoping that everyone forgot, and I just spoiled that for them. So, bad.
But it'd be actually pretty cool. We talked about it before. Maybe there'd be time, like we thought, when Glenn might have died. Would how cool have been if we don't know what happened to him, he made it or not? And maybe they do this character. We don't know the fate.
Love it if we never heard from him again and just leave that question out there. You know, he's the Huel in the hotel room. It's that's it. Whatever happened.
definitely.
Yeah, no, I would really commend this show. But the funny thing is, you know what happened is after it was all done, after the series finally ended, somebody would ask about him and they would go, oh crap, we forgot about the character. Like, that would be it, you know.
Well, I do know this is something, this a little bit about the comic book. I know they have now a origin story on Negan, which I haven't bought yet. I'm thinking about getting a comic book on that. That's a separate series that learn about his background. I have no clue about. I'm so curious about Negan's background now, and I'm looking forward to reading the comic book. That's his little plug of the comic book. That's what they're currently running, I believe.
I think he used to operate a chicken place.
I think he had something with authority. He could be like a supervisor of a freaking.
Oh, that was it. Yeah. No, yeah, exactly. He was some douchebag manager that all this whole time there, like he was at a sporting goods place or something, or like in a place that had sporting goods and hardware, and he used to look at the baseball bats and the barbed wire and think, oh man, if I had my way.
He's always assistant manager. He's never the manager. It's like,
exactly.
Oh my goodness, that'd be awesome. I have no clue. I'm curious about it, so I'll probably start picking up that comic book. I should just start downloading it now. Am I kidding?
You should do it right this second while we're on live.
While we're watching it.
Let us know how it comes out. Quick spoiler alert. I think this about wraps it up. You know, I think we've covered as much as we can cover on this episode. We're really looking forward to next episode. The First Day of the Rest of Your Life is the title. And I have not seen any previews or anything. I always stay away from them. I figure it's only a week between episodes.
Oh,
I wait.
Oh, can I tell you what happens? Oh, I gotta tell you.
They did release the episode 3 of the Telltale Walking Dead game that came out today, and I haven't yet had a chance to play it. So I will have a short review for what that game is like, that portion of the game is like next episode.
We got a little time, real quick. Tell me what you're expecting. I'd love to hear what you're expecting from this game, because I love hearing your review afterwards. So what have you known about the game? What are you expecting? And
I've already played the first two episodes. So the way that the game started, and I'll do a little rehash. We covered it a few episodes ago, but you take control of a totally new character. Like the first season, it was you played a guy named Lee. And he helped Clementine, who was a very young child at the time. In the second game, Clementine's an older teenager, you know, about maybe 14, 15, and you get control of her, and you get to deal with her and dealing with groups and everything. This one, you're controlling a guy, I believe his name is Javier, and he had some, and they start this story all the way back at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, and you can see his dealings with his family and some of the drama he was having. And all through it, I kept playing the game as if there's the one character, the guy is with his brother's wife and their kids, right, on the road after this is months into the zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking the guy's dead, right? And so I'm playing the wife like, well, you ain't got nobody now, you know, kind of thing. And sure enough, at the end of episode two, the brother appears, you know, somehow he catches up with you guys. And I'm like, ooh, I guess I should have made some other choices back there. Okay, we'll see how that plays out. But you end up running into Clementine and you get to see who she is. And now she's a little bit older. She's probably about 16, 17. She, you know, she's wielding a shotgun now and she's more badass.
She's 17 now. Okay.
Yeah. So so the whole thing's coming together. And I just, you know, I like the way they do their, the Telltale spent a lot of time and they made a lot of mistakes in order to get to where they are. And now they make these games pretty good. It's like a Which Way book. That's basically it. There's very little action in them, and it's mostly all about the choices you make and the trust you build with the group. You know, typically the last episode they'll release is, depending on how you treated everybody, you'll either have a whole bunch of people on your side or you'll be alone. And it could be anywhere in that range. So, yeah, well, I'll let you know what I think, and we're just kind of chugging along. Like I said, it's only episode 3. Of a total of 5 episodes that'll be released over the next few months.
All right, cool. All right, I guess that's going to wrap it up. Until next week, we're having our final episode for season 7 of The Walking Dead. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a 90-minute episode if you keep with tradition. They haven't announced it yet. I don't know if they did or not. But either way, I'm looking forward to a great episode of The Walking Dead season 7. So far, it's been my favorite season to date. Except for that freaking...
Who is the except?
The mid-season thing. I'll stop bringing it up.
No, that's fine. Anyway, just want everybody to know that after The Walking Dead is over, don't worry, we're not going anywhere. You can still check us out. But the show will no longer be Bring Out the Dead. For the next little while, it'll be Calling Saul, and we are going to be doing Better Call Saul reviews. And talking about that show. So I got to get myself all caught up because I haven't watched season 2 yet because I'm a lop. I don't do anything. And so anyway, I'm going to get all that done and we're going to get caught up and do those shows, man. So I'm excited about it.
Do you know what lop means? Do you know the definition
lop?
A lop. Oh, is it lop? Oh, okay.
I said a lop, not a wop. I'm not Italian. I'm a kike if I was going to do that.
I was wondering.
I'm a lop. I'm like something that's lopped over. It doesn't do anything. You know, like a stuffed teddy bear that doesn't quite sit upright anymore. That kind of thing. Why am I talking so much shit about myself? I don't know. Anyway, everybody, you guys have a great time. I am motherfucking Ross. You can find me at Mother F. Ross on Twitter. And
you can find me easy. Just go at Tony_Lamar. Or just go to my... webpage, it's TonyLamar.com. You guys are awesome. I'm out there, people.
And we will check you all out later.
Thanks for hanging out.
We're
going to get that timing down one of these days.